The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast, Dr. Taz.
Superwoman Wellness.
Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show and every episode of Superwoman Wellness. We are determined to help you find your best self. Joining me today is Dr. David Friedman. Dr. Friedman is the number one best-selling author, a naturopath, clinical nutritionist, and chiropractic neurologist. He has written, he has received a postdoc certification from Harvard Medical School. He's a former teacher of neurology and author of the college textbook, Understanding the Nervous System. As a health expert for Lifetime Television's syndicated morning show and host to Your Good Health Radio, Dr. Friedman helps millions with solutions to everyday health and wellness issues. His most recent book, Food Sanity, talks about the relationship that many of us have with food. Welcome to the show, Dr. Friedman.
Oh, great to be here, Dr. Taz.
Well, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. You know, a lot of us, you know, have an interesting relationship with food. We're always looking for the latest information, the latest diet, what's really going to work for our body. And I know even for me in practice, I spend a lot of my time and energy helping patients sift through this topic of food. What inspired you to write Food Sanity? And you have such a diverse background. You know, what brought that book to life? And tell us a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, I wrote Food Sanity after the 18 years of frustration that I endured as a syndicated TV and radio health expert like yourself. You know, I've interviewed hundreds of the scientists, the doctors, best-selling authors, and my goal was to bring information to help my audience reach their optimal health. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. Instead, every guest would contradict their previous expert, leaving everybody, including me, more confused. From proponents of the vegan, the paleo-Mediterranean, to gluten-free, to the low-carb diet, the opinions are really as different as night and day. And, you know, like you, I remember when oatmeal helped balance blood sugar. It was great for us. Now we're told avoid grains because they spike your blood sugar. And coffee used to be considered unhealthy. Today it prevents disease. Eggs used to cause high cholesterol. Now we're told, hey, they lower cholesterol. So after growing frustrated with all the conflicting opinions, I wrote Food Sanity. It breaks through all the facts, fads, and fiction and answers the big question, what are we supposed to be eating?
Love it. And I love that, that you recognize all the confusion that's out there today. You know, why is your book different? How is it different from kind of the other food books on the market? And what do you think we're all getting wrong when it comes to food?
Yeah, well, Food Sanity, I use a common science meets common sense approach to figuring out the culinary conundrum. That's what's missing in books. They just look at the science. I mix it with common sense. Unfortunately, we can't solely rely on the scientific studies, because those change sometimes, as we mentioned, weekly. Plus, many of them are biased, and I spell that B-U-Y-A-S-E-D, meaning they're bought and paid for. So I show the reader how to avoid these paid-for, unreliable scientific studies, tap into their instincts, trust their gut instead of relying on what they hear in the media. And then we explore the biology of the body to see if we're designed to eat it. So when you combine these three things, common science, common and biology, basically have a foolproof blueprint that shows you what we shouldn't and should be eating. It's kind of like a tricycle. Without three wheels, it can't function. So my three-wheel process is really what the other diet books are missing.
Fantastic. Well, tell us more about it. What is this three-wheel process? What is the sort of central tenet there that we're all missing the mark on?
Well, basically, it's the science will come out and we'll buy into that and says, okay, well, coffee's bad. I think it was 3 weeks ago they announced that it caused cancer and they have warnings on it. But just recently, I think it was a week ago, it says it prolongs life and extends your lifespan. So you got to kind of tap into your gut. You know, when you look at milk, for example, it's like, you know, we've been told, hey, drink milk, it does the body good. But if you really tap into your instincts, forget what you're hearing, because again, that is paid for and I approve in my book. But really, were we designed to drink the milk of another animal? Common instinct. We were designed as adults to drink milk from anything. No adult species of any source drinks milk. It's only infants. So when you kind of just peel away the layers of the onion and say, you know, am I common sense-wise designed to eat it? You kind of tap into that. And of course, science is important, but you can't just solely use on science. You can't use what the opinions are of the author. You kind of got to say, hey, common sense time.
So, you know, using that barometer of common sense, what would you say to the medical community where, you know, every recommendation, every sort of piece of advice has to come from a big, thick, research-based sort of stance? I mean, how do we, I know as an integrative physician, I use my intuition a lot. I use what I feel about a particular patient and I merge it with the science of that patient and the chemistry of that patient to get them answers. But I know how highly criticized that is in the medical community. How do we bridge this disconnect? Because there is a place for intuition and common sense, but the media, the medical world, our patients, our consumers, you know, everybody's really trained. Hey, if there's not research and science behind it, it's wrong. How does somebody sitting out there, you know, really sift between these two worlds and understand where to land?
Well, that's the thing. So the science will change. And like I said, sometimes in a week, month or so, and then your instincts, you kind of get to let those guide you. But there's one thing that really doesn't change. The biology, kind of all agree, mm-hmm. our biology really know how the liver works, how the brain, the spine, the spleen, so forth. So if you really tap into that part of it, where were we designed to eat it? Do our enzymes in our mouth break that food down? Are our teeth designed to chew that food? What about our colon? What happens when the food gets in the colon? This is stuff we pretty much well know that's not going to change next week or next month. So that's what I do in my book. We tap into the biology. Were we designed to drink milk? Do we have the enzymes to break it down? What about beef? What's in beef that's all the scuttlebutt that makes it so bad? Is there biology behind it? So that's the key, is really tapping into who we are, what we were meant to eat. And, of course, that's a big bash. You can dive into the ancestors and do our DNA analysis, which I do in the book. And really, mm-hmm. I kind of give the reader in each chapter a way to figure out what they should be eating.
So fascinating. And so when you look at everything, you've mentioned milk a couple of times. So when you look at everything that we are collectively doing and knowing how unhealthy we are generally and knowing as much as we all now know about the food industry, what do you think we're all doing wrong? If you had to really nail it down to like the top three things the majority of us are doing wrong, what would you tell us? What would you tell my audience?
Yeah, I think milk is the big one. You know, despite the decades of government and industry propaganda about the health benefits of dairy products, unbiased science really proves cow's milk not healthy for humans. And contrary to all the milk mustache ads that milk builds strong bones, mm-hmm. studies showed actually contributes to the cause of brittle bones. And what really gets me, Dr. Taz, is we're still taught as children. If you want to grow up big and strong, drink your milk. Yet children that drink milk get more chronic ear infections, have more allergies, more likely to be overweight and at greater risk of diabetes. So when I say to my patients, stop drinking milk, they go, what do you mean? What am I supposed to do for calcium for my bones?
Right.
Well, people drink calcium, you know, they drink milk for the strong bones, but before the milk goes to the grocery store, it's pasteurized, meaning it's been exposed to extreme heat, which is great because it destroys the bacteria, but it also renders a lot of that milk's calcium content insoluble. It's destroyed during the manufacturing process. Well, people say, well, what about raw unpasteurized milk? Is that good for my bones? Well, it's not available, but let's say you did just for giggles. That still wouldn't build strong bones because the calcium to magnesium ratio in cow's milk is 9-1, 90% mm-hmm. calcium, 10% magnesium. And most experts show we need a 1-1, 50-50. Guess where you can get the 50%, 50% magnesium calcium? From plants, the same place cows get their strong bones. And gorillas, strong bone animal. They don't drink milk. They get it from plants. What about big? Let's go with the elephant. You know, they get it from that. So you don't need milk for bones. And then when I talk about the protein, they say, what about protein? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, protein, casein. Now, casein from cow's milk is also used to make glue to hold together wood. Think of the mm-hmm. cow logo on Elmer's glue. Ding, ding, ding. If you were to swallow glue, your body would consider it an invasion and attack it. When you ingest this protein called casein, a glue-like substance in milk, your body attacks it, produces histamines, and it causes mucus buildup, and it goes into bronchitis, allergies, asthma, sinus, irritable bowel, the list goes on and on. Even studies from the World Health Organization have linked consumption of casein with increased risk of heart disease, high cholesterol, type 1 diabetes, so forth. So I always ask people, common sense, forget all that I just said. Folks, common sense time. What is casein for? It's to make a 100-pound baby calf grow into a 2,000-pound cow. Now, the average human weighs less than 8 pounds and grows to 170-pound adult. So common sense question, would you use rocket fuel in your gas tank of your moped? No. Why would you put gargantuan-sized cow fuel inside a human body? Makes no sense.
So interesting. Well, and then the question I always get when we talk about milk is would you do a substitute milk? Do you believe in any of these substitute milks? Rice milk, coconut milk, almond milk, nut milks. What do you think of those?
They're all fantastic. Yes, yes, yes to all of them. Great. Except for soy. I'm not a fan of soy, but cashew, almond milk, hemp milk, coconut milk. And, you know, people that say, yuck, I don't want hemp. Most of them haven't tried it. If you put almond milk in coconut milk, it's delicious. I've not had anyone that said, ew, I hate it. You can't hate it. It tastes just are not better than cereal. It's a great combination. So yeah, those are the best alternatives.
Everyone out there, I hope you heard the first one. Milk may not be the best fit for us, especially cow's milk. After that, what do you think are some of the other things that we're all getting wrong? I know milk is one. And, you know, by the way, guys, milk with the casein, it's one of the most inflammatory proteins. I don't know how many people, you know, come to me with different conditions, skin conditions and gut conditions. And we invariably end up pulling people off milk just because casein is so inflammatory for such a big percentage of the population. But beyond milk, what do you think the rest of us are getting wrong? Tell us more.
Oh, I'll tell you, my aha moment was, you know, when I was researching every single food group, and I spent 6.5 years researching all the science. I mean, I dug and dug, and one I really wanted to find was the fish. You know, I love fish, and it's like, oh, watch out for the mercury, watch out for the pollution. So I went digging into that, and fish, folks, is the best food you can eat. So many people are afraid of it. It's got the omega-3 fatty acids.
Right.
For fighting inflammation. And I mean, it's great for nutrition, but of course, farm raised is not good. That's not wild caught. But when you're dealing with wild caught, the big thing people think of is, the mercury. And what's interesting is the mercury concern, it's not supposed to be, it's no need for it. The oceans are not the mercury laden cesspools we've been led to believe. And in Food Sanity, I debunk this popular mercury fish myth by exploring cultures around the world that eat fish daily, sometimes 3 times a day, and their blood tests show no mercury toxicity. They're the epitome of good health. And then I went further. I said, all right, well, what about the big one we hear about, pregnant females? They've been told to avoid certain types of fish because they supposedly contain mercury and can harm the unborn fetus. There's simply no credible research to support this. I looked for it. In fact, guess what I found? The opposite. Cultures where pregnant females eat a diet primarily of fish, mostly tuna, have higher IQ children than those mothers avoiding fish. So mercury is a natural occurring element found in the soil, air, and water. We hear all about the dangers of fish, which I call the redheaded stepchild of food, but it's also in cattle and mushrooms, high fructose corn syrup. No one seems to worry, and dental fillings. Nobody seems to worry about that on all these sites, but fish. So here's what I want to share. Mercury cannot cause harm unless it occurs in extremely high enough amounts to inhibit selenium, and which is naturally protective of the cells of the brain. So in other words, if fish contains more selenium than mercury, it cancels out the mercury that is absorbed by the body. So in my book, I have a chart of 18 of the most commonly used fish. All of them, except for the mako shark, has more selenium than mercury. So, okay, play it safe. If you see mako shark on the menu, don't order him.
Run! Run from mako shark.
Run from
wow. So where did this come from? Where did this recommendation of, you know, avoiding fish because of the mercury, where is this stemming from and coming from? Are science just all jumbled? Okay. What are we missing?
No, you follow the money. The least money-making animal food is fish wild caught. Why? Guess what? They don't have the antibiotics. They don't have the growth hormones. They don't have the sulfur drugs. Guess who the number one customer is of antibiotics for big pharma? Cattle. 90% of all antibiotics are given to farm animals, primarily cattle and the milk and then the chicken. So when fish come along, they go, hey, let's say that they're bad because we don't want people eating fish. We don't make money. It's right from the pot and right to the restaurant and the stores. So follow the money. It's the redheaded stepchild of food, and I'm here to tell you it's the best food.
Goodness.
Don't avoid fish. You want to avoid, of course, farm-raised, because farm-raised is the most common is salmon. And I'll give a quick little thing for this. Salmon, don't believe the label. A big 80-90% of it is farm-raised, but it'll say wild-caught, and it can still be, according to Consumer Reports, 52% is mislabeled. So here's what you do. Play detective. Use your eyes. Salmon are professional swimmers, and humans, professional swimmers, don't have any fat. They're lean. Well, salmon are professional swimming fish. They should be lean. So if you see fat striations between the meat, it's farm-raised. Don't eat it. It shouldn't have fat in the meat. That's a little tip.
Wow. Man, you're a food detective. I love it.
More with Dr. Taz coming up, but first I want to tell you about Kaya Biotics. Kaya Biotics are high-quality probiotics designed to improve gut health. Now, you want to feel good? You want to live your best life? I get it, but if your gut health isn't functioning properly, life can be miserable. The gut and its impact on our physical and mental health has been underestimated for years, and that's where Kaya Biotics comes in. Probiotics that are exclusively certified organic and only include organic ingredients, a complete novelty for probiotics. Plus, it's easy to get the right probiotic for your needs with three different probiotic supplements. Multibac strengthens digestive functions and your immune system. Candida Complex fights candida and yeast infections. And Body Plus helps with weight loss. And there's no unnecessary fillers, additives, or anti-caking agents. And Kaya Biotics are also vegan, GMO-free, and come in stomach acid-resistant late-release capsules. So try Kaya Biotics. It's a treat for your gut. Choose the right organic probiotic formula for your body and save 25% off your first purchase by using the code WHOLEHEALTH at checkout at kayabiotics.com. That's K-A-Y-A biotics.com. Once again, save 25% off your first purchase by using the code WHOLEHEALTH at checkout at kayabiotics.com. That's K-A-Y-A biotics.com. Now back to the Dr. Taz Show.
All right, so we talked about milk. We talked about eating more fish. What's the third one?
Yeah, so which one? So the third one would be like the big misnomer?
The third biggest misconception that we all have when it comes to food. We think we're being healthy, but we're not.
Definitely would be the red meat. And what's interesting, you know, the truth is you don't need meat to have a well-balanced diet. And in fact, research shows that healthy people around the world that live to be over 100 eat very little, if any, red meat. And our research cultures that live to be 110, 115, 120, and that's the least part of their diet. And what's interesting is, you know, there's so many studies, Dr. Taz, showing that it's linked to colon cancer from Cleveland Clinic and Harvard, Johns Hopkins, the Mayo Clinic, and World Health Organization, all say the more red meat you eat, the more likely you are to get colon cancer. That's just so well known, but nobody knew why until recently. And what they found is 4 years ago, the National Academy of Sciences shared a major discovery of a unique sugar molecule called NEU5GC, which is found abundant in cows, but it's not found in humans. And when we eat this sugar, it triggers an immune response that our body attacks, and this leads to chronic inflammation, which has been linked to colon cancer. Among all victims of cancer, colon cancer is the second leading cause of death. Now, what's interesting is chicken doesn't have this molecule. Fish doesn't have this molecule. Vegetables, fruits, eggs. So when you're looking at the science showing the most causing this, it's definitely the cow. So, you know, in my book, I'm not vegan. I'm not plant-based. Chicken's great. I love fish. I love eggs, you know, and there's a certain part of the pork you can eat. Just stay away from the outer layer because the fat, you know, the old saying, sweating like a pig, that's a misnomer because pigs don't sweat. In fact, some pigs are so fat layers so thick filled with toxins, if a rattlesnake bites a pig, the snake is more likely to die than the pig. So eat the inner area away from the fat. So the pork loin, the tenderloin, the tenderloin. So that way you stay away from the fat. That's where all these toxins exist.
Interesting. And I have a quick question too about red meat in general. Do you think all red meat is equally bad? Like I know there's certain cultures that eat a lot of goat meat or lamb versus, versus beef or cow meat. What do you think about the sort of differences there?
Yeah, the cow is the big public enemy there. The other smaller animals we can digest better. You got to realize, you know, that this cow meat is just this huge animal. And, you know, it's hard for us to break down. You know, it takes fish 30 minutes to digest. Chicken takes 90 minutes. And red meat can take up to 5 hours. And if you don't eat enough fiber, it can actually clean the intestinal walls for weeks. So it's hard to digest. You know, the number one cause of the Heimlich maneuver in America is choking on an undigested piece of red meat that's got stuck down the esophagus. And that's from the cow. So you can break down. Wow. Lamb's a little bit better, but again, you know, we just weren't designed. We don't have the teeth to process. So occasional red meat's fine, but really, It shouldn't be a daily. I know these people do it 2-3 times a day, bacon and burger and steak for dinner.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't do it. I just can't do it. All right, so we talked about milk and avoiding. I don't know how. Avoiding milk, eating more fish, avoiding red meat, treating it as a rare occurrence every now and then. Those are some principles that we can all follow for everybody out there listening today. We're talking to Dr. Friedman. We're talking about food sanity, how to make sense of all the diets and all the nutritional advice out there. And one of the biggest take-homes probably is use your common sense, because science is ever-changing. You talk in your book also about something called obesogens. Tell us a little bit about that, and are they responsible for the exploding obesity crisis that is now international? It's no longer just an American story. It's now an international story. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, the reason so many diets fail, even if you eat healthy and exercise, is because they really focus on one thing. Food is the big focus of diets, and it plays a key role. However, a major reason people are overweight is from chemicals called obesogens that are found inside our food, wrapped around our food, and even in the cookware we prepare our food on. And obesogens, they disrupt our hormonal balance, increase our appetite, and actually increase the number of fat cells. We used to think we were born with so many fat cells. Science shows us that obesogens increase the number. Who wants that, Dr. Taz? We have enough problem with our own fat cells. Who wants more of them?
Right.
And one of the biggies is the BPA, it's bisphenol A. It's a synthetic estrogen primarily used to harden plastic. It's been shown to cause weight gain, insulin resistance, and even linked to cancer. And people know about BPA in plastic food and beverage containers, but people don't realize this chemical is also found in thermal paper items like cinema tickets, ATM, credit card receipts, airline tickets. So if you get your grocery store and you touch that receipt that she's handing it to you, you're contaminating your hands with this obesogen. So ask her to put it in the bag. And if you do touch the receipt, wash your hands. And a quick little tidbit for the BPA for the plastic containers. If you see a 3 or 7 on the plastic container, it's don't use it. It's an obesogen. If it has a 1, 2, or 5, it's safe. So you can follow the number.
What's in the 3 or the 7? Is the 3 or 7 like a higher BPA content, or what do those numbers mean?
No. Yes, 3 or 7 higher BPA, so it's going to leach quicker into the beverage or the food, and especially if you keep that in the car, in the seat. That's the worst thing to do, is keep your water bottle in there. I don't recommend microwaving any plastic, but again, if that's something you want to do, just make sure it doesn't have a 3 or 7 on there. You can kind of follow the numbers with that.
That's super helpful.
Pesticides are an obesogen too, and a little follow the numbers there if you're unsure of the label. If the PLU code, price lookup code, has a 9 in front of it, it's organic. That's good. No pesticides. If it has an 8 in front of it, it's GMO. So my saying is, if it's 8, it isn't great, but if it's 9, it's fine. And you'll find that little sticker
nine
in all your products.
9 is fine. Man, these are helpful tips. I hope you guys caught those. So first of all, for your plastics, look for something with a 1, 2, or 5. Don't use anything with a 3 or 7. Those are higher BPA content, typically maybe even higher phthalates, and they're obesogens. They're making us fatter. And for your pesticides, 8. You don't use 8. 9 is fine. So look for a 9 that leads with a chemical that's more organic, not GMO. Do I have that right?
Yeah, they're right. And you mentioned the word phthalates. Did you know phthalates can actually be in your shower curtain? So imagine you're exercising, eating right, you're taking the shower, and it's making you fatter because you're breathing in these chemicals. So buy phthalate-free shower curtains. Yes, your shower curtain could be making you fat. Isn't that scary? Who would have known?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know. So, you know, there's all this great information out there, and I'm sure my listeners, for all of you super women out there who are listening today, I'm sure you're getting a little tiny bit overwhelmed, because I know how much information you're like, wait, do I have to come in and redo my whole house? Do I have to look at every chemical? Do I have to redo my entire diet? You know, for somebody who's feeling like that, Dr. Friedman out there, who's just like, oh my gosh, you're just blowing my world. There's all this stuff I never knew. How would you tell them to start? What's a good way to get organized and maybe start to bring this conversation in a little bit? You know, you've given us kind of the 3 rules for food, at least to begin with. Where would you go from there when it comes to really, first of all, achieving food sanity and making sure we're not exposing ourselves to things that ultimately might be affecting our weight and our overall health?
Yeah, the big thing is, you know, you'll get the paleo diet, people saying eat like a caveman, and the plant-based thing, eat like a gorilla. I'm here to tell you, you need to eat like your great-grandparents, because back then everything was organic. They didn't have all these chemicals and these obesogens. So really tap into the old way and, you know, look for things that weren't around, you know, that were around, that are around now that weren't around back then. We have to play detective. You know, we have to look at labels now. Nobody's helping you. When you look in the mirror, that's the reflection of who you're going to rely on. You can't rely on Big Brother. I just got my water tested. There was 10 chemicals and 8 of them are carcinogenic in my water. Mm. And, you know, we think, oh, wait, the city's protecting me. They're filtering out. Wrong. You have to play detective. You have to filter your water. You have to look at your foods and make sure that it's in boxes and it's in cans. It's processed and there's chemicals in there. So get in touch with nature. Eat as away from boxes and cans as you can. Organic if possible, but really go with, my view is 80% plant-based, 20% animal. I live by a flexitarian diet, and that's the diet where people live the longest. They eat a little bit animal. Majority of your diet should be plants with fruits and vegetables.
I love that. And, you know, I think that really is the diet of the future. It's the flexitarian diet where you're 80% plant-based, you're about 20% maybe animal-based, and you're really paying attention to the quality of your food, organic food for the most part when you can, cleaner foods, paying attention to how you're packaging your foods. I think that matters as well. I think all of us might be guilty of leaving the water bottle in the car, and next thing you know, you're getting in not just a dose of water, but also a nice healthy dose of obesogens, which is the last thing any of us want. Beyond that, what do you think of some of the other trendy diets? I know you've touched on some of the food concepts. What about the keto diet with the emphasis on fat and healthy fats? Where's your stance on that one?
It's interesting. You know, keto diet's the latest craze right now. And basically, it's a repackaged version of the Atkins diet. And I find it odd that many of today's leading experts who, listen, 15 years ago were anti-Atkins are now embracing the ketogenic diet. And it's like, wait a minute, folks. You know, now, will you lose weight on the keto diet? Absolutely. The goal of ketosis is for the body to use fat, you know, basic fat for energy instead of carbs. This type of weight loss is also seen in people suffering from starvation, including those with anorexia nervosa. It's also the leading cause of death for young diabetics, ketosis. So, you know, I don't know. Just me saying that makes it say, what do you mean? There's side effects. My mom tried it. Her hair's falling out. I got patients saying, my hair's falling out. I'm doing a keto diet. Fatigue, dizziness, brain fog, dehydration, insomnia. So, you know, staying in a state of ketosis is not easy, and the long-term effects of doing so are still unknown. My view is this. Is there's healthier ways that you can lose weight where you can still enjoy food. You don't have to starve yourself. Ketosis is basically cannibalizing. You're eating your own body. I'd rather eat good, healthy vegetables and fruits than eat my own body. And, you know, I got to diminish what I eat. Show me somebody who's overweight because they ate too much broccoli and spinach. It doesn't happen.
I agree. And so what do you think the secret then, taking all this and actually you had one other little tip I want to make sure I share with the audience. How do you know if your food is genetically modified? Is there a little secret tip or something that we, just like with the pesticides, that we can look for to know when we're in the grocery store, we're picking up something that's probably genetically modified?
Yeah, that's that back to that saying. If it's 8, it isn't great, but 9 is fine. So 8 means it's GMO. So if you see 8 in the little sticker in the beginning of the 8, it's GMO, whether they say it is or isn't. And I'll tell you, most people at grocery stores don't even know this little secret. They don't know, because if you pick up a fruit and a vegetable, you don't really know. You got to rely on it. But if you look at that PLU code, that's it. Also look for USDA certified organic on the label. That's great. Or you can go with the non-GMO project. That's another one. If you see those stickers or the 9, you know you're safe from GMO.
Okay, so USDA certified organic, the non-GMO project, and the number 9. And that's true for produce as well? We can find those things on our produce?
Yep. That'll be on the produce. It's that little sticker on there. Yeah.
All right.
See, we
got to
play detective. It's not hard. Just follow the numbers.
Yeah, I know. I think everyone just gets really overwhelmed, but you've really broken it down and helped us to make it very simple. I mean, I think the last question, you know, so many people want to lose weight. They're concerned about their weight. Beyond cleaning up the quality of their food and following some of what you just mentioned here, is there any other advice you'd give to folks that are kind of getting desperate and they're starting to gain weight? Maybe they're hitting 40 and they're gaining that sort of middle age weight, or they're younger or older. What do you think? Where should they go? Where should they start?
Yeah, the big thing that you want to do is I look at the word diet in my book for the true meaning, which means the Greek word from dieta means way of living. And that's the key. You know, it's the way of living. And I talk about achieving permanent weight loss is avoid obesogens, eat clean, and get deep restorative sleep. Because studies show if you're not snoozing, you're not losing weight. And real quick for the weight part, the eating, if it's white, keep it out of sight. There it is. That's my diet, folks. If it's white, keep it out of sight. And that means things like milk, flour, sugar, salt, and corn, or anything made with those ingredients. And of course, that doesn't mean the natural foods like garlic, mushrooms, onions, and bananas, and white fish, and so forth. So milk, flour, sugar, salt, or corn, but there's easy ways to change that. So if instead of white salt, which is bad for us, go with the black Hawaiian volcanic salt, which has 80 minerals that makes us full, that's good for our heart. Instead of sugar, this white process, go with monk fruit or go with xylitol from the birch tree or stevia. So there's alternatives that are natural. The key is stay away from the white processed, you know, junk that's empty calories because it makes you hungry. Did you know that salt is actually one of the best things for us because we're made out of salt. We're 70% salt water. How can you say salt's bad for us? It's who we are, folks. When we cry, our tears are salty, but it's the good kind of salt we want, not this man-made white process, because it makes you hungry, it makes you bloated, and it can contribute to hypertension. Who knows it makes you hungry? Movie theaters. That's why they salt popcorn. They know you're coming back for Jujubes and you're going to crave Coke. Fast food restaurants salt the food. It makes you hungry. But if you salt your food with good salt, it makes you full. You don't eat as much. That's the key.
Wow, this has been mind-blowing. I love this. The book, guys, is Food Sanity. And if you didn't catch that last tip, I'm going to repeat it. If it's white, keep it out of sight. That's milk, sugar, salt, corn, flour, white flour. Keep those out of your diet. I'm going to challenge you guys right now. Let's try this. I'm going to try it too. Let's try it for the next 3 weeks. Let's keep anything white out of sight in those five particular ingredients, you know, for sure. And let's see if we all lose a little bit of weight, and you can reach out to me and let me know. But Dr. Friedman, this has been a delight. I love how you have absolutely broken everything down, made it easy to remember, made it honestly kind of fun. So thank you so much for joining me today. Again, the book is Food Sanity. And if for anybody out there who is wanting to connect with you, what is the best way to reach you?
Yeah, you can get the book at foodsanity.com. And I ran out of room for recipes, so I have a 92-page ebook that's free. You can download that with if it's white, keep it out of sight, recipes with delicious desserts. You don't have to not like food. Food is delicious. And I have breakfast, lunch, and dinner on there as well. And you can follow me at drdavidfriedman.com. On social media, I'm at Dr. David Friedman. Except for Instagram, I'm at Health Radio Doc.
Perfect. I love it. If it's white, keep it out of sight. I'm going to be singing that all day today. Thank you for joining me. For everybody out there, continue to be your superwoman self. Really strive for superwoman wellness. And remember to live your best life. You've only got one shot at it. We got to make it great. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Dr. Friedman.